Geographic information systems and intelligence have been converging for a while now. All forms of information are available in digital form, well, nearly all, but the challenge really is integrating them. That discipline is called GeoInt. Former Coast Guard Commandant Thad Allen is now an executive vice president at Booz Allen Hamilton, and as a longtime user of both geographic information and intelligence, he tells Tom Temin how this data convergence is changing the intelligence landscape and even his own company.
We've actually created a new position in our firm called data scientist, and it's to take the output of enhanced information that's a result of using data in a machine-to-machine learning context and adding a higher level of value to it, and then how do human beings interact with that information once it's developed.
And there's also the topic I've heard a lot, and that is the data sources themselves. It used to be the government had its own data, its own satellites, but now there's so much commercial data, so much sensor data other than satellite, that there is almost a dilemma happening of what data you use and who does it belong to.
I think what was classically determined to be inherently governmental and what was done in the private sector, I think a lot of those boundaries are blurring right now. There are a lot of commercially available sources for geospatial information and imagery. And so the issue moving forward is how do you basically co-produce what you need to operate the government and carry out the governmental functions. And I think there's going to be a larger role for private sector contractors in this.
And how does the Internet of Things that we hear so much about come into this? Because that has a geospatial element to it and also an information element outside of location.
Well, in our firm, we like to think of it as a connected society. And what's connecting everybody is mobility in terms of spectrum and then the ability to move information around in a digital format. And what it's allowing people to do is to aggregate and to do new social constructs, if you will. But at the same time, that does produce some risk because you have different types of attack surface for cybersecurity and threats.
What are federal customers asking of you with their problem? What problems do they have? And is it only DOD and intelligence agencies or also civil?
Well, I think it's across the board because products that are being developed for the government or the civil community can cross over, as we know from what's happening with the imagery in the geospatial area. I think in the federal community, there's a general desire to be able to visualize information. And when you think about visualizing information, you think about taking imagery and geospatial information, combining that with other data, so you produce something that's more intuitive to be able to understand by leaders.
Now, I've seen a lot of point products and software. There's a lot of technology development going on here. And you've got the community that's existing, the old DIB, the Defense Industrial Base. And so what is the process by which all of these little tiny technologies that might be very powerful can be brought into the service of large-scale projects like the government has that is used to going to large-scale contractors to find solutions for?
Well, that's a great question. It doesn't matter whether you're talking about geospatial technology or I was recently out at the RSA conference in San Francisco for cyber. These trade show floors are just teeming with very small firms, startup firms, and we have a lot of very talented people out there. And they're working on some very unique problems. One of the pluses associated with that is they can focus on a discrete area they're really interested in and have a technical background for and develop a solution. One of the challenges associated with that is trying to scale that solution and bring it to market or provide it to the government. So in Booz Allen Hamilton, we think there's a role for both. And we are in the process of forming alliances, teaming arrangements with small firms that we think are aligned with what we're trying to do, and then go to market with the innovation they're bringing to the table, but the reach back and the scale that we have in our firm.
Where does this leave the traditional systems integrators and the aerospace companies who increasingly are acting like systems integrators?
Well, I once told somebody before I retired from the service that it didn't seem like we were buying ships anymore. We were buying computers with ships attached. And if you think about the Internet of Things and the fact that we have computers in cars and so forth, I'm not sure in the digital world we live in whether or not there's going to be a continual systems integration challenge because everybody is so connected and to take advantage of that properly. And also to build scale so you can solve large complex problems. I think systems integration is changed, but it's certainly going to be a function that's going to be needed for the foreseeable future.
All right, so getting back to the data and the big data aspect of this, now that we have been able to build the ability to create big data, it seems now that the trend in the analytics part of it is to get back down to data that's small enough to be useful.
Yeah, I sometimes get concerned about the overuse of the term big data. It's not very descriptive, and it can mean a lot of things. I think what we're trying to do is create meaning out of the data we have. A CEO of a large oil company, when I was talking to during the Deepwater Horizon oil spill, once said to me that data is an asset, and you don't get any value out of it unless it's liquid. And the logical end of that is that you have to be able to get some kind of a value or monetize your data if you're going to get any value out of it.
Thad Allen is Executive Vice President of Booz Allen Hamilton. And when you were Commandant of the Coast Guard, especially during the Deepwater Horizon spill, but other missions too, you did more than that in a career. What do you think that you could have done differently, or if you could see ahead at that time to the tools and technologies available now, what would that have done for you?
Well, I can give you one clear, stunning example from the oil spill in particular. It wasn't until early to mid-June, and the rig blew on the 20th of April, that we really could understand the challenge of trying to bring together all the intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance that was going on in the Gulf there, especially in regards to the vessels of opportunity that BP had employed. And so we took a pretty aggressive step in taking control of the airspace in the Gulf and managing it out of Tyndall Air Force Base, so we could manage all the information associated with surveillance and put our resources where they needed to be. Looking back on it and the value that that brought to the response, I probably should have done that on day one.
All right, so at the GEOINT show that took place earlier, there was, again, this emphasis on tools and also on the infrastructure to support all of this data. Where is this heading in terms of data centers and shared services, which is so important to the federal government, dealing with this brand of information and analytics?
Well, I think the technology has certainly changed in the last 5 to 10 years, and we're moving away from a monolithic data center and server farms, because actually the computation can be distributed now through Hadoop and MapReduce and other technologies. So I think the issue is really, how do you create a network? And the network's got to be secure, it's got to be resilient, and you have to be able to put infrastructure into those networks that allow you to be able to take that data and analyze it. And in some cases, it may be a data cloud or a data lake or someplace to aggregate the data and then take advantage of machine-to-machine learning. In other cases, you may want to have a more discrete data center, and there are also security issues in how you want to secure the data. And I think we're going to be moving to how to secure the data itself, not necessarily the networks, if we're going to make sure we're going to keep integrity.
And there's also a model in the GEOINT area where data is all dumped down from sensors or satellites or whatever, flying drones, whatever the case might be, and then it's processed in some manner. So often it's impossible to process it until it's physically carried in racks from one place to the other, because there's not enough network bandwidth for all the data. Do you see a time when maybe the processing could take place at the sensor, and so that eases the burden on what goes back to the network and what analysts have to deal with?
Oh, I think that's already happening in some cases. Some of these airborne sensor systems and the electronics and avionics that are installed actually in the airplanes or the drones themselves are capable of some processing that can compact the data so it can be transmitted more efficiently. I think that's definitely going to continue in the future.
And do you think that the tools that have been exclusively for use by DOD and the intelligence community, they seem to have a lot of capabilities that would apply in commercial and civilian government areas? So do you see a convergence happening there in terms of technical capability?
Well, I think there's a lot of technical capability or know-how that migrates out of DOD into the private sector and vice versa. Like I said earlier, the boundaries between what's inherently governmental and what's in the private sector are tending to be blurred. Now, what's always going to distinguish the defense sector and the intelligence community is sources and methods, and may be able to protect sources. I think it's more of a policy of what the information you're dealing with is and where it was obtained, not so much the technology and what you do once you have it, because I think that's used on both sides.
So it sounds like there are legal and cultural and, I guess you'd say, privacy issues that everybody's going to have to deal with as this data lake, this data ocean, gets bigger and bigger and has more and more mixed sources.
Well, I think it's pretty clear that as technology advances and we're capable of doing more things with sensor information or data, there's going to be a constant tension between security and civil liberties and privacy. It's been, very robustly discussed, for the last 4 or 5 years in this country, even before then. And I think that's a reasonable discussion to have. But in the end, you need the right tools to secure the country. And I think that's a debate that's going to continue, and it's a good one. But we need to understand that technology has to be employed to protect this country when it's needed.